Blog
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and also my co-host, Minister David Clifton, and also our co-host, Minister Ryan Fountain, who is our historian. Good for us to be here. Just another session and of the living Word of God. The word which Peter says, which liveth and abideth forever. And today, my food for thought is just simple. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Apostle Paul said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Mine is actually going to be pretty brief today also, coming from Matthew chapter 7. 21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Question I like to pose or leave you with is, are you a sheep or are you a goat? If you're a sheep, you find yourself in the will of the Lord, and the only way you can find yourself is in the will is to know the Word. So that is, again, why we are coming to you week in and week out, is to show you what exactly the Word is saying. We want you to be in the will, not outside of the will. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And so that's what we have to do, is to be in the will of God, and that should be everyone's desire, to be in the will of God. Sometimes people ask you things, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? And one thing I would always say, no matter what, that what else is on the list, but one thing I want to be, one place where I want to be, and that is in the will of God.
Amen.
That's of utmost importance. So we know that we've got to have the word of the Lord to make it. And then also, and as we try to give understanding out of the book of Acts, and we let people know, you can't just grab a scripture and run off with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we need to back up a little bit. And the 10th chapter of Romans, but what saith it? Verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we know this quote came out of Deuteronomy when he was saying, who's going to go up to heaven to bring it down, and who's going to descend into the deep to bring it up? And he was saying, the word is nigh thee in thy mouth. So we go on here, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, but the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Question. How they shall believe in him whom they have not heard? Question. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Another question. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, I beautify the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know these epistles, these letters were written to churches. So somebody that's not saved cannot just read, grab Romans 10 and 17 or anywhere in the epistles and say, just confess him. But you got to believe the word of the Lord. You can't hear except there be a preacher. And so then you can't acclaim to this letter that's written to the church at Rome, people who already were saved, until you receive the Holy Ghost, until you are baptized in the name of Jesus, like we are trying to let you know out of the Acts of the Apostles. And that was when the church was initially saved, the Jews and all those that were there on the day of Pentecost, then down at Samaria when they were saved, and then also we've been dealing with last week when we ended up in the 10th chapter of Acts, when the Gentiles, salvation was open unto them, uh-huh. and the Apostle Peter had to come, the man that had the keys that the Lord gave, not literal keys, as we say, made by Yale and made by Sledge and all these different lock companies and Master Lock. Not talking about no lock, but we're talking about the power and the authority, and that is in the name of Jesus. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. When you receive the Holy, the name of Jesus, when you're water baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, you receive the authority of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So you got to have water and spirit. Water baptism in the name of Jesus and spirit baptism, that is evidence of speaking in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives you what to utter. And that's what happened to them on the day of Pentecost. When it was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it set upon each of them. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues like as of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So I know you just believe and you receive. But when you receive, you will hear yourself speak in another tongue or another language other than your native language.
Amen.
So we're going to we're going to try to continue here. We know we were here near the end of the 10th chapter of Acts, and I believe we were all down. Well, we'll start at verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And this is Peter's sermon, continuation. We are witnesses of all these, all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, whom God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the apostles that done that. Not to all the people, but unto us witnesses chosen before God, even to us. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, or alive and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin.
Uh-huh.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Question, how did they know they had it? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we know the Lord's name is Jesus, and he is Jesus the Christ.
Amen, amen. And if we go back, and this can kind of tie in to the scripture that Elder Cannon was reading from Romans, just the latter end of Romans chapter 10, verse number 16, it says that, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So what you have here as Peter is preaching, they believe the gospel. Amen.
Yeah.
They believe the report. And something that I like to bring out is up until this point, the subject of all the preaching was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Him being crucified, him being buried, him raising from the dead. Amen. And that is what the gospel or the good news is and should be. In this times, we have a lot of people professing to be preachers. And the thing is, Jesus seems to have been taken out of the message. They're supposed to be preachers of the gospel. There's some, like myself and Elder Cannon and Minister Fountain here, we are preaching the truth, amen? We're preaching the same messages, if you will, that the apostles preach. Now, you have some that know this message or they have heard this message, but as Paul wrote into the Corinthians, in the 2 Corinthians, he said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So there are some that are just simply blinded to this message. The reason that they are blinded, or not actually the reason why they're blinded, because we just read that, but they've heard it. They have heard the true message, the true gospel, but they just can't perceive it. They just can't understand it. They don't see it. They're blinded to it. The thing about Cornelius here is and I find this very interesting, he believed God. He was a man that feared God. The Bible says he was a devout man, him and his whole house. But up until this point in his life, he had not heard the preaching of the gospel.
Right.
And I find that interesting. We have a lot of people out there, and like I said myself once before, I believed in God. You know, I had some knowledge of who God was. I had some knowledge of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't until I was about 23, 24 years old when I actually had it preached to me. And the thing is, when it's preached, that preacher must be sent, as we read in Romans. We see that earlier here in the 10th chapter of Acts that Peter was sent by God. And through his preaching, Cornelius and his household, they believed. And that is how the Holy Ghost fell on them. And as Elder Cannon said, the proof of the Holy Spirit falling on them is they spoke in tongues as on the day of Pentecost. So it's interesting to point out that once again, God's order is being fulfilled here. And I don't know, did you read down to verse 48 where they were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Now, up until this point, some 10 years have passed since the day of Pentecost. We know in the second chapter, I do believe it was some 3,000 souls that have been saved. We've read the story where the Ethiopian eunuch, because of the preaching of the gospel, had been saved. We've read about the Apostle Paul being saved. My point is they were all saved the same way. We are all familiar with all of those that are in church, if you will, have heard the sinner's prayer, have heard of the sinner's prayer where you raise your hand or you confess the Lord into your life and you believe on him. They take that scripture that you read in Romans out of context. If that is what you want to believe, then my question to you would be, 10 years now after the day of Pentecost, all these preachers that have preached these messages, all these people that have been saved, we don't know how many was in Cornelius' house, but there were several people there. They didn't get saved that way. There was one way that they got saved. And I would challenge you all to definitely go into this book and follow along with us. You're going to see we don't see anyone that raised their hand and says a prayer here. They all did it the way that the apostles preached, and that is the way that God gave them the message, amen?
Yes.
So it satisfies my soul to know that I can go back, and especially looking at Cornelius, he was the first Gentile to be saved, and all of us, or most of us that were probably hearing this message are probably Gentiles, which means we are not Jews. This is the first of our kind, if you will, that was saved. Wouldn't it satisfy you? Wouldn't you be able to sleep a little better at night if you knew you got it the same way this man got it?
Yes. So you got to be honest with yourself. Just like Minister Clifton said, I myself, I didn't get baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost. I was 24 years old, 3 months before I turned 25 when I got saved. But I came up in the church that I came up in, I thought I was right. But one thing about it, after I got out of high school, I really quit going because I knew I wasn't right. And that's the way it is with some people. You call yourself in church because you might be ushering or singing in the choir or your name is on the church roll, but that's not in church. But how you know you're in the church, you got to be born again. Just like Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in. So you got that which is born of flesh is flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That which is born of spirit is spirit. So when you're born again, your spirit is what is born again.
Amen.
And that is the water baptism in the name of Jesus and the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues.
Amen. And just to reiterate on what these brothers are saying, the same message that was preached in Acts the 10th chapter, 10 years after the day of Pentecost, was the same message that was preached on the day of Pentecost. And that same message, they were born again the same exact way,
mm-hmm.
of water and of the Spirit. So there's no deviating from that. I just want to reiterate
yes.
that there is no deviating from that method or that mode of being born again. There's only one way to be born. There's only one way to be born of a woman, and that is through the womb 9 months. But there's only one way to be born again, and that's through water and of the Spirit.
Yes, and then that's definitely true. You got to be born again. And my prayer to you, if you have not been born again, you say, like I've heard people say, I haven't spoken in no tongues. I pray that you have no rest or no peace until you come to repentance. God left that void in our heart that nothing can satisfy but him. And what we have to do is be honest with ourselves that we don't have it. So you don't have the Holy Ghost experience, or people will call it the Pentecostal experience. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. Because there are people that God has filled with the Holy Ghost. But the Spirit of truth, he said, when he's come, he will guide you into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
So all you got to do is listen. And we have people, that I know people that are going on to be with the Lord, especially the evangelist that were teaching Bible class on the night that I got saved. She had the Holy Ghost for about 6 years before she got baptized in the name of Jesus. But she still didn't have no rest until if you receive the Holy Ghost, Christ is in you. But the only way to get into Christ, you got to be baptized into Christ. And that is in the name of Jesus. So you're not going to have no rest or no peace until you are born again. So that's why God is fixing it, so you can hear the gospel. Not all they what they call believer's baptism. You just believe and you receive. No, he that believeth, like Jesus said, you go back to the basics. Mark 16 and 15, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The ETH on believeth. But he that believeth not shall be damned. What?
Mm-hmm.
What he is talking about, the gospel. That he had rose from the dead when he said those words. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you got to believe the gospel. He even told them, Thomas didn't want to believe that Jesus had rose from the dead because he wasn't there when the Jews, when he appeared unto the Jews the first time. But that next time he was, said, except I put my hand in his side and I see those wounds, I will not believe. And then when he did see him, Jesus knew his heart. He said, touch me, reach hither, put your hand in my side. It is I myself. And Thomas's reply was, my Lord and my God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're blessed because you've seen me. He said, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe.
Amen.
So this is a faith walk.
Yeah.
And walking with the Lord.
And that is us.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing, that because we have not seen him.
Yeah.
But we believe.
Yeah.
And another thing I want to point out here, getting back to the 10th chapter, is at the end of this, now up until this point, it was only Jewish ministry. Gentiles were looked down upon. They were looked at as dogs. They were looked at as people not having any access to God. So when Peter asked a question, he said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Now, Peter did not go here by himself. So these other brothers had also received the Holy Ghost, but they were astonished. They're looking and said, well, you know, the Gentiles have also received the same gift that we have. So what Peter was saying here, well, if they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I can't leave them here half-read. We have some out here that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but they have not yet had their sins washed away. Peter, being a man of order, being a man of God, knew, well, if they've received the Holy Ghost, we have to wash away their sins. And that's why he commanded them to be baptized. So again, we see that baptism is not, as some teach, an ordinance, or it's a ceremony that you may do to, you know, acknowledge you joining a particular church. It's not about that church building that you are becoming a part of. You want to become a part of the body of Christ. And to be a part of that body in Christ, you have to be baptized into that body, as we read in the 6th chapter of Romans. So baptism is a commandment to anyone that may be listening that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have to have your sins washed away, and that is the reason for the baptism. And another thing up until this point, I want to bring this out, that no one has been baptized calling out titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's all been in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So again, you have to find your faith, if you will, in the scriptures. And the book of Acts being the only history book, if you will, of the apostles, it actually walks us through, and that's what we're doing. We're walking through the history of the Acts of the Apostles, seeing what they did, seeing how church started. This is the history of churches as we know it. So you have to find yourself, if you will, in this history book. If you have acquired something other than what we find in this book, then you have a problem. So again, we want to reiterate that baptism is not a ceremony. It's not something that you put off until you get 10 new members and then you have a big service and everyone comes in adorned and dressed in their white linen and, you know, you dedicate that whole service. We're going to baptize everyone today. Myself, I was baptized, you know, approximately 1 o'clock a.m. It wasn't one of those things we'll come back and see it Sunday. It is a vital, vital thing that you have your sins washed away.
Amen.
Once you believe. So here we have them. They were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Amen?
Yeah. And then we also, you got to believe in the validity of the Lord. The men that he validated in the 17th chapter of St. John, when he prayed his priestly prayer, he gave his word to them. In verse 6 of St. John 17, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me. They have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. They have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for them, the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All are mine, all are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And so what he's saying here, that these men, the apostles, were the ones that the Lord Jesus Christ chose out of the world and gave them. They walked with him during his earthly ministry, all but the Apostle Paul. And he gave them his word, and they knew the will of the Lord. And we got to believe them. And we got to know that God knew what he was doing when he gave these men the revelation of who he was.
Amen.
So we got to believe the men that he sent is the point being. So many people have ran off and started these new, what they call religions and persuasions and faith and beliefs and whatever terminology you want to call it after the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
But the day of Pentecost, when the new church, New Testament church began, is God's prescribed way of salvation. That's why Luke, when he wrote, he said in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other. He's talking about the name of Jesus. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That is the name of Jesus. So we're just trying to give you a little history, and we're going to move on here as we're going to get ready to enter into the 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles.
Okay, so moving on to the 11th chapter, we see verses 1 through 18 is a recording of how Peter had to justify him preaching unto the Gentiles and bringing them into the church and giving them the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
He had to prove himself unto the apostles and the other Jews. And so that this is the recording of that justification. Reading starting in verse 1, it says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contending with him, saying, Thou wentest to men uncircumcised, and thou didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, thou call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again to heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house." So now, just to break off real quick, Peter had six men with him, and Mr. Clifton talked about this. These six men were witnesses of what Peter said. So Peter did not go into some place alone and preach something, and then they came back. He came back claiming something. He had witnesses. God always leaves a witness for his man to show that God is indeed working. You don't go off somewhere by yourself and have some great revelation and gather all these people unto you. That is not how God works. He had witnesses, and these witnesses, he had six witnesses along with him that saw these Gentiles receive the Holy Ghost, and they did not pray for them. They did not lay hands on them. They did not hold some revival service where they called them up by number lines and took offerings and everything.
Yes, sir.
These men, he was simply preaching the word of God, and these men received the Holy Ghost. It fell upon them because it was a sign for them to know that the Holy Ghost was indeed given unto the Gentiles.
Yes.
It was a sign for the Jews.
Yes.
It was not only just for the Gentiles to know that they had received the Holy Ghost within themselves. It was a sign to know that, because the Jews would not allow the Gentiles in if they had their way.
That's right.
This was God's will.
Yeah.
And God had to show them that I'm letting the Gentiles in. I am bringing it more into my fold.
Right. Just like he said in Romans, said there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek.
Amen.
For the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon
him. Yes. There is no Jew or Gentile within the body of Christ.
Right. Then one more thing. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't want to cut you off, but like he said, and here's what happens with these people getting all these so-called secret revelations, like that one man that supposedly met an angel, which is a messenger from hell. But Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no secret thing. And even Peter and Paul got together. Even they had, Apostle Paul had to get Peter straight because of what he'd done. But they came together. And they came together in the scriptures. Because that's the only thing, that's the, when the plumb line, what Amos was saying, the Lord said, what you see? The plumb line, the word of God is the plumb line.
Yes.
That's what the guide, what we go by, not what we think in our own mind, but we got to go by what the word of the Lord says.
Yes.
So there's no secret thing. So everybody, so that's why the Bible said precept must be upon precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Isaiah 28 and 11, when he goes on to say, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. So this is, we got to pay very close attention to repetition.
Yes.
There's no secret thing done here, but God always works and he never leaves himself without witness. So everybody is saying the same thing if we believe what God says.
And this right here is just a form of repetition because this is a repetition on what happened
yes.
in the 10th chapter. And he is simply rehearsing a witness unto these brethren that the Gentiles did indeed receive the gift just as we did.
Yeah.
And that there was no, was to be no segregation, was to be no separation between Jews and Gentiles
mm-hmm.
because that wall of partition has been knocked down by the blood of Christ. Amen?
Yes.
So that's in the book of Ephesians. But as we go on here, we will see that there was segregation and that the Jews only would preach unto the Jews. They wouldn't go unto the Gentiles because they were still under that bondage in their mind
yes.
that the law superseded the law of Christ.
Yes.
And that they would not go past the law, and they saw the Gentiles as being unclean.
Mm-hmm.
This is... As we talked about earlier with Paul, this was Paul's, one of his main objectives was to get Judaism out of the gospel
yeah.
and to keep paganism out of the gospel
yeah.
and to break down so that we have one body that is unified in all things and that we may preach the gospel in unity.
Yeah,
amen. And understanding, to better understand why these Jews had a problem with this, you have to travel back to the Old Testament and understand that Israel or Jewish people were God's people.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, as we read last week in the book of Leviticus, there were certain animals that they could not eat, but also they could not fellowship, if you will, or be mingled with any other people besides Jews. So Gentiles were again, they were looked at as dogs, as bad people, and the
yeah.
children of Israel were supposed to be separated from these people. So this is where their mindset is. It's not that they were too good, but up until this point in time, that's the only thing that they knew.
And God continually told them this on their journey into the land of Canaan. After they were making their exodus, he continually told them to not mix themselves with the people with the Canaanites.
Mm-hmm.
And this was because once they started mixing with the Canaanites, they started worshiping false gods.
That's
and
right.
they started marrying and bringing themselves close and breaking the law,
mm-hmm.
in fact. And God was trying to prevent this by so they wouldn't fall into false worship, because every time Israel started mixing with the Canaanites, they fell into false worship, and then God had to deliver them. That this is the whole book of Judges. It was an up and down roller coaster.
Yeah.
And in the end, each man followed after their own heart as they saw fit, not what the word of the Lord said as at the end of Joshua, but every man did what was good according to their own heart.
Right.
And this is what God was trying to prevent them. This wasn't saying that the Gentiles couldn't worship God, but he was trying to keep false worship out of them, and over the years it got twisted, and now God is indeed bringing Gentiles into the fold, because before the Gentiles had to come in through, to be, in order to live under the law, they had to live as a Jew. Right. And they were called they were called proselytes. They had
right.
to be proselyted into the Jewish religion.
Amen.
And so they had to live according to Jews.
Right.
There was proselyte in the sixth chapter. Nicholas, I believe, was a proselyte. And so there were Gentiles that were worshiping as Jews. There was always Gentiles within the covenant. They made a special provision for them. But to do this, they were no longer seen as Gentiles. But now they are Gentiles because the law is put away. Judaism is put away.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now under the dispensation of the church. There is no Jewish ministry, so to speak, in the world today. It is the ministry of the church.
Right. And that's why Jesus said when he came on the scene that it hath been said, but I say.
Yeah.
And that's why he was saying it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Because people are into that. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Then also, I just want to jump over and make a point here in the book of Ephesians. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye sometimes were far off, are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So that was the difference. That's why, then not only that, but you got to pay very close attention. Apostle Peter, God let him preach. He was talking about, he made a quote out of the book of Joel. He said, it shall come to pass, saith God, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all
Amen.
Flesh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, yeah. So that he didn't make no difference between the Jew or the Greek.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. And if I could, I just want to add this on briefly, and then we'll hop back into the 11th chapter. As Minister Fountain was talking about how God was trying to keep false worship out, we have to spiritually, if you will, put on that same thing nowadays to where the true church of God, which is those that are obeying the gospel, we still must keep false worship out.
Yes.
So just as they in the Old Testament were allowed to mingle with people that worship false gods, nowadays we have to be careful who we join ourselves onto and who we fellowship with, because we can still today get caught up in false worship. So what we have to do is we have to obey the word through and through. The only way that we're going to know how to worship God, because Jesus said that those that worship must worship me in spirit and in truth. To get the truth and to know how to truly worship him, you have to get into the word.
Yeah.
And also just to reiterate, in the 11th chapter of Romans, it tells us how we as Gentiles, how we were grafted in.
Yeah.
That's just backing up what Jesus said when he said he had sheep of another fold.
Right.
At that point, we were not allowed in yet.
Right.
But as Minister Fon said, that wall of partition was broken down. So we should also be thankful that God allowed us full access to come all the way in. So the reason we're going through this is because when Peter went back, these men contended with him and they argued with him because they didn't understand. Why did you go preach to these Gentiles?
Right.
So Peter knew this was going to happen, so that's why he had to rehearse the matter to go back and tell them, look, they received the same thing that we received. Amen?
Yes, and then I want to make, those of you, give you our call-in number, 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566.
All right, moving on. We left off in going on to the 13th verse. He said, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. He's talking about Cornelius, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa to call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning.
Yeah.
Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then have God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.
Yeah.
Who was Peter to withstand God? Who was Peter? Who were any of these Jews to withstand God? If this was God's will, how could they argue with it?
Right.
This was the will of God. He gave them the Holy Ghost. He gave the Gentiles the Holy Ghost, just as he did the Jews.
Yeah.
And so, if that's what God wants, who are we to stop the will of God? Amen.
Right.
Moving on, going to the onto the 19th verse. This is now establishing the church outside of Palestine. We start moving into the islands of Cyrene, Cyprus, going into Antioch. And now Antioch is very important because it becomes the central of the Gentile churches. It's the central place. This is Paul's home church. This is every time Paul came back from a missionary journey, he came into Antioch. He still went into Jerusalem. Jerusalem was still a very major part of the church, but Antioch now becomes more of the center of the Gentile churches. Reading on in the 19th verse, it says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. So the ones that were scattered out of Jerusalem, out of the land of Judea, they only preached unto the Jews. But that was not God's will, as we saw in the 10th chapter.
Yeah.
We just talked about this. This was not God's will. He did not want them preaching to just Jews, but he wanted Gentiles also to be saved. But he needed to raise up men to preach unto Gentiles because Jews would not mix and mingle with Gentiles.
Yeah.
20th verse, he says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. When tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Did you want to expound on it? Because this is a very powerful thing that Christians were first called Christians in Antioch.
Yeah.
They weren't called Christians in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
They were just disciples.
Yeah.
But now these disciples now gained a name, gained an identity within Antioch, and these were Christians. And to be a Christian, it's kind of lost its luster nowadays. Everyone's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone claims to be a Christian. All sorts of different denominations and beliefs call themselves Christians. But to be a Christian, you had to follow after the doctrine of Christ.
Right, man.
You were a follower of the doctrine. You were a believer in the doctrine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was only one doctrine of Christ. There's many doctrines of devils and doctrines of men, the plural S, but there is only one doctrine that's singular of Christ and of God.
Right.
And these men that followed after this doctrine were first called Christians in Antioch.
Amen. And I guess let me add on to that. Traveling back to the second chapter of Acts, verse number 42, actually verse number 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they, those that were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. So as Minister Fountain said, up until this point, or actually right here in the second chapter, they were not called Christians. They were simply known as disciples of Jesus. As I do believe it's in the 19th chapter where they ran into some disciples of John. They were known as disciples of John because they believed and followed the teachings of John.
Right.
And as we get up there, we'll find out that they were not Christians, if you will, at that point because they had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, nor had they been baptized in Jesus' name. So my point is, a disciple is simply a person that is a follower of a particular teaching. There's usually a master, if you will, or a lord over a certain teacher. So if you join yourself unto a particular person, then you will become a disciple of their teaching.
Yes.
So up until this point, there were many disciples, if you will, in the land. Now, how were you to differentiate between who you were a disciple was? You had to find out who the master or the father of that teaching was. So it is very interesting to find out that here we finally have the word Christian. As Minister Fonzie said, we have a lot of people that profess to be Christians, and they think it is just simply believing that Christ came and died and rose on the third day. But if you believe that, you have to believe all of it. You have to believe the full gospel.
Right.
If you're going to do that and call yourself a Christian, then you have to do the things that the Christians in the Bible did. The very first thing, and a lot of us, we're accused of always talking about Acts 2.38. You always talk about Acts 2.38. You always talk about Acts 2.38. Well, to be quite honest, maybe some of us do, but it's something you can't skip over. If you want to get into the body of Christ, if you want to be a child of God, if you want to call yourself a Christian, the first thing you have to do is obey Acts 2.38, amen? And
right.
Then you can call yourself a Christian. If you don't do it that way, you're a perpetrator. You are falsely identifying yourself with the group of people that you are not a part of. That is the initiation, if you will, to be a part of, of this group. We know that gangs have an initiation process. You just can't go out there and call yourself a member or a group of a partner gang without doing what they say you have to do.
Right.
Well, we can translate that into the church. You can't just call yourself a Christian because you say, well, yeah, I believe Christ came and died on the cross. James says that the devils believe in one God.
Right.
And they tremble or they fear, but that don't make them Christians. They know what Jesus did.
Right.
They were there. Some of them were there. They saw it, but that doesn't make them Christians. Amen?
Right. And then, like here, he's talking about the disciples of the Lord, the ninth chapter of Acts. Saul was yet breathing out threatenings against the disciples of the Lord. Then here, it's in here a few more times about the disciples that were afraid of him. When they found out, verse 25, then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. So they got Apostle Paul out of town. Verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple.
Amen.
So we know they are those that were found, like the Saul of Tarsus. If he found any in that way that were calling on the name of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
he was causing them to be put to death. So people knew who were the disciples of the Lord were.
Hey, amen. And just to add on, Saul of Tarsus, who Barnabas found, and we just read this, he was found, and they came into Antioch, so they were of the group that were first called Christians.
Yes.
So we want to follow after the, if we want to model ourselves to be a Christian, we have to follow after the group that were called them. Christians.
That's good.
So we can follow after the model of Paul. How was Paul living? What was Paul's mode of salvation? Paul, we read this in the ninth chapter that Paul was indeed baptized, and we cross-referenced that with the 22nd chapter, baptized calling on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
So he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul received the Holy Ghost. We know that Paul spoke in tongues. He said in 1 Corinthians, he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So he was baptized in the name of Jesus. He was baptized with the Holy Ghost. He lived holiness. He preached holiness. All through the New Testament, Paul makes up over a quarter of the New Testament. And he preached holiness. He lived holiness. And if you want to be considered a Christian, you have to live as just as Paul did. Just and you have to obey just as Paul taught.
Amen.
Yes.
So, moving on, we about ready to close up. Moving on, we can finish this chapter out. It says that in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the land, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Let me make a quick point right here. Agabus was a prophet, a New Testament prophet. He spake of something, and every prophecy that God gives has to come to pass.
Yeah.
So this man spoke up by the Spirit, signified. But it says he signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or a great drought in the land. And what happened? It came to pass.
Yeah.
So all these prophets that are out here speaking things out of their minds, and they never come to pass, you have to question their leading of by the Spirit. You can't say that they're being led by the Spirit, because if they speak something and it's out of their own mind and it doesn't come to pass, it's not of God, it's not of the Spirit. So this man was a true prophet. This was an example of a true prophet in the New Testament. Moving on to verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And my closing thought is that the Barnabas and Saul were in Jerusalem during the time of the 12th chapter. They were there the entire time. They didn't come back from Jerusalem until the 13th chapter, which is when they were sent out. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. So Paul saw everything that happened to Peter and everything that was going on of the persecutions and such of Herod in the 12th chapter. Paul was there in Jerusalem during this time. I believe this time was about 12 to 18 months. So this is about 12 years after the year of Pentecost, or the day of Pentecost, which where all this takes place. Is there any closing thoughts that you?
Yeah. Wait, we got about 7 minutes. So just to substantiate what you're saying here, this is Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians when he wrote, and how he went to see Peter and everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, the second chapter. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated with them, unto them, the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of repetition, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in to privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave no place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with them. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, but contrarize, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, who is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that they should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. But only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with, the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, the Jews. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their assimilation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? For we who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that not that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we who have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. And he goes on to say, for if I build again the things which I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So we can see how they had their little confrontations, but God gave them the word, and they had to come in order with the word. So everybody, God had no respect to a person. And this is what Peter said when he preached in the tent, at Cornelius' house. He said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but him that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So that's what God's not going on, what you are on the outside. But God came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he's concerned about our soul. He's concerned about our spirit is what he deals with. He's not dealing with your head. You know, it doesn't matter how we came up. But the thing is, like these people, he wants to make everybody one. Just like he said that other sheep, but when he came, initially he said, I came not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But he initially, that was initially, he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power not to believe on him, to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So it's the will of God that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth,
amen,
as the Apostle Paul wrote later on.
And to add on to that point, that message, he came unto his own and his own received him not. That was under a different covenant.
Yes.
That covenant ended when he died upon the cross.
Yes.
That was the putting away of Judah, because there was two ways that you put away a wife. He divorced his first wife, Israel, and after he died, he could put away his second wife, Judah.
Right.
And that covenant was put away, and a new covenant was started, a new testament by his blood, which is the church, was started.
Amen. Yeah. And just real briefly, let me say this before we close, because one of the things people will try to talk about is the man on the cross, you know, when he professed to Jesus that, you know, he knew who he was. And they say, well, that's proof of confession. Well, as Minister Fountain said, it was under the old order or Old Testament. That was not the correct dispensation to utilize that, if you will. Number one, that man was a Jew. Number two, the baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, was not needed then. So, again, we have to understand, you know, calling upon God in the correct dispensation.
Yes, yes, that was before the gospel was established. Just like he said, it had been said, but I say. So he brought in a new and a living way after his death. So we thank God for, we hope you have been blessed on today with the word of the Lord. We're trying to give you history about the salvation of the Lord. But after it's all said and done, you've got to believe what the Lord said. So we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. And I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.